We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hello, and welcome to the Love My Renovation Project, where we discuss all things regarding renovation loans, typically the FHA 203K and the Home Style Renovation Mortgage are a couple of the most popular ones. There are seven or eight additional ones that we're aware of, but there's lots to talk about always with renovation loans. I can't tell you that intro talks about not having the exact home you want in the neighborhood you found if you're a homeowner, home buyer. And that's so true. Or if you're already living in a house and you really don't want to move. You don't want to move some of the kids out of the school district. Everything is working well. But you can add a room. You can add double the size of the house if you want. But you can certainly add a room, another master suite, or just a couple of bedrooms for the kids, maybe a Jack and Jill bedroom set up. All this is possible with the 203K and these other renovation products. I got a kick out of somebody talking the other day on a blog that we monitor, and they were just aware of the VA loan. You know, VA gives you 100% financing. It's part of HUD. HUD is made up of a lender, which is VA, and an insurance company, which is FHA. So the lender makes loans at 100%. Well, now you can get fix-up money. As long as the place appraises, you're in good shape. You can get the money to fix it up and get 100% financing. So that's pretty cool if you are a veteran. So I can't believe how many consultants have not been providing a property inspection report with their 203K paperwork. When you get all these consultants out there, and some of them are doing it, some aren't, and yet they're getting the same pay. They're going by the HUD guideline when it comes to getting the pay, but many of them are missing the boat on doing the work according to the guideline. Poor training, that could be. Didn't want a good student, that could be too. So who knows, but benefit to the lender, consistent home. We have an application for that. We have an app we created a couple of years ago, which gives a big benefit to the lender, and they get the property inspection reports are consistent. They come in looking alike. Everything's in the same order. So underwriting is easier. Benefit to the inspector, once you fill in the check boxes, which is mostly a checkbox situation, we do have the ability to type in on the spot verbally whatever you may want to say in addition. So if the checkbox don't match exactly what you want to say, you click the little speaker microphone.
I noticed that a lot of people are saying that the 442 compliance inspection is all locked up by appraisers. Well, that's true. It has been, but now it's opened up to the world. Anybody who knows how to fill out the form. And once anybody sees the form, they're going to say, well, this looks just like the back of a draw form. And it does. So consultants, before you go kick it in the butt and kick it out of your potential profit centers, look at the form. You'll see it's very similar, and you can fill it out, and you can make the inspection. But quite often appraisers will call out a broken window, and somebody has to go back and look at that broken window, and you get a fee for that, and you turn in this form with that. So anyway, most 203Ks and other type renovation projects go off without a hitch. But from time to time, you may find yourself with nobody to talk to. I mean, homeowners get this all the time. They don't do a lot of 203Ks. I mean, they do a lot of them, but individually, but one homeowner does not do typically more than one or two 203Ks in their lifetime. So what we need to do is we need to find somebody to help them get through the rough spots. And sometimes that's harder than it sounds. So what happens is we've set up a website called 203K911.com where we do just that. We help you as the homeowner get through the rough spots. So if you feel like you need someone to talk to, you know, get on 203K911.com and send us an email. We'll be happy to talk with you. I would say 97-98% of these provided there are free. And you're notified long in advance if there's about to generate a charge, but you'll sign a contract before that, so you'll know exactly when we're going to charge you and if we're going to charge you. But most of the information we give is free. It's just yours for the asking. So please give us a call if you feel like you're alone, and we'll be on your side and help you walk you through the issues that may put you back on track. I thought it was going to be a big money maker, but found out that so many of the earth-shattering issues are so easily handled with a phone call. We tell you what to say, and if you do it, then there's typically no cost to you. It's a freebie, a service that we provide to our clients nationally. There seems to be also a great deal of consultants thinking there's no work for them. That's just because they aren't marketing themselves. As you get into this business as a 203K consultant, you need to pay attention to marketing. If you think that the HUD listing is going to get you a lot of business, it isn't. Why isn't it? Especially if you've got 30 people in the same city or marketing area. But I know we had one guy in Blythe. Now, I think it was Blythe, North Carolina. And he said, Mike, it's been a year in this business. I haven't got a call from the HUD website. I'm thankful that you're helping me get business because it's just not coming in. And I said, well, if you think about it, anybody in your area is going to look at the closest big city, in this case, Columbia, South Carolina, much bigger than Blythe. The way the HUD website is set up is if you want a 203K and you're looking for a consultant in Blythe, they're going to find you. But chances are you would love to do work in Columbia as well. So he went down and got a P.O. box in Columbia, and his phone started ringing now and then, but they are not going to give you the bulk of your business. Okay, so you need better training and marketing. Need a better marketing plan. So, but if you go to 203ksoftware.com, our training program is $489 for consultants. We'll show you exactly what you need to do. Hold your hand and they'll help you do it. Last time we had a show that we offered, I was leaving on vacation, and I offered any consultant out there that needed more work to get a hold of us and get on our referral list. We refer hundreds of 203Ks per year, hundreds. So, and if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms, give us a call. If you don't want to be on the radio, go to 203K911.com and tell us about it in our contact form. So, anyway, I'm going to take a little break here and get set up a little differently with a different headset. So please call in if you want to be on the show at 888-627-6008, toll free. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Welcome back. We're glad to be with you. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. If you're a realtor or a lender and you put this whole package together and everything looks great, all the numbers are good, and the appraiser comes back and he's low. Let's say you have an appraisal that you got a property sale, rather, at $250,000, and the appraisal comes in at $230,000. Well, that does one of two things. It makes you think twice, for sure, and it may blow the deal. But realtors, you need to learn about the 203K, because one of its nuances is that you get a 10% bump on the appraised value. So, in this case, 10% of $230,000, where the appraisal came in, is $23,000. So if you take the 250 sales price and you look at the 230 appraisal plus 10%, you're at 253, which will back up to 250, and they can still close the loan. Now, you're always going to try to do your best about doing your due diligence and going back to the seller and saying, look, the appraisal came in low. In spite of all the improvements we're doing, it still only came in at 230, and our contract is 250. Would you consider backing off to the appraised value? They might. So that's good. If they do, great. You save the client $20,000. If not, the deal is not dead. Okay, you can still keep this deal together by using that little well-known or little-known feature in the appraisal and bump it 10%. So that's a good thing. Oh, my. Just got back from vacation. I'm still reeling from the vacation. We actually went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We spent a little time in Powley's Island, South Carolina, and some time at, oh gosh, what's the name of that town? Way up Banner Elk, North Carolina, up in the mountains facing a beautiful view of the Smoky Mountains where we were staying. Got to see my grandkids. Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge is where Dollywood is. We took the grandkids there. Had a good time. So anyway, see, now you know what happens with an appraisal. That appraisal can help you. So let's say you're doing a standard conventional sale, and the appraisal comes in 10% or within 10% low. You can change it to a limited 203K without any trouble at all, typically. So, you know, one of the reasons you used to go to FHA was because of the low down payment, but Fannie Mae has one too. But 3.5% down is pretty darn good. You can still put 20% down if you choose to. So that doesn't change. But if you change it to a 203K, a limited 203K, there's no hiccups. The interest rate shouldn't change. There's a lot of things there that are just simple to do. And once you do them, you qualify for the 203K and that 10% bump on your appraisal. Dozen years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I'm not sure how long ago, we put a book together. It was intended to be a consultant's guide, and it included all the HUD forms the borrower is going to sign. So you know that they are being told, or should be being told, by the loan officer that he's supposed to give them all these contracts in time to read and understand prior to closing escrow. Do they all do it? That would be impossible. No, they don't all do it. Some don't even know they're supposed to do it. A lot of them have 203K divisions, and those people do it, I'm sure. But does it happen every time? I don't think so. I never thought so. And that's why when we do our consultation, we give our clients so much more. The Mike Young team gives the client all these contracts. and not only throws them at them and expects them to read and understand them, we literally go over the most misunderstood sections of those contracts so that our clients are better informed. Another thing that we've done, we noticed that a lot of those contracts have stipulations that refer or contain the contractor, and yet the contractor doesn't sign those forms. How can anybody expect the contractor to know something that's on the borrower's form? The borrower only had to sign it. So that's crazy. So we've taken a couple of those items and added them to our consultation, and we've added it to our scope of work, Section 35, so that the contractor signs acknowledging these facts. One of them is simply contact for access to make your inspection of the subject property for bid purposes is, and we tell them who it is. In many cases, it's a buyer or it could be a realtor. The contractor has to provide a copy of their local city or county business license prior to closing this escrow. So if he doesn't have one, he needs to go get one. But nobody told him that, so now we're going to tell him that. Contractors to verify all the quantities and measurements in the field. Standard architectural language would be VIF, verify in the field. Contractor, another one here, note 4. Contractor understands there is no upfront money for 203K projects. He or she must provide some work and get reimbursed withdraw inspections. That's important for the contractor to know up front, because if he doesn't know going in, this whole thing could fall flat on his face, and many do at that point. And the borrower has to run out and get a new contractor because nobody took the time to explain to the contractor that there's no upfront money. You have to use your credit and your cash to go buy materials, install them, and then once they're installed, the consultant/inspector can then pay for those things and reimburse you. This is all about a reimbursement program. Now, I remember one that we had. I was called in to take over a project from a friend of mine, by the way, who was misinforming contractors. He had told them that they could get up to 50% of the money up front to buy materials. Well, 50% of the job is close to half of the job. It just leaves out, in other words, 100% would be going to materials, and the other 50% was going to be labor or something on that order. But he told his contractor that he would get paid for the materials once they were on the site. That is false. It doesn't happen that way. It's once they are installed. I was shocked when I got out to the job for his first draw, and I get there, and the delivery truck is just pulling out. I had to stop as they come out of the driveway so I could get in. And when I got there, the contractor says, "Oh, my God, thank you. So glad you're here, and let's do this draw so I can get my materials paid for." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Well, they just dropped $50,000 worth of materials on this job, and I need to get paid so I can go pay them." Now, who's going to hand a contractor a check for $50,000? Nobody with any common sense, except on a draw. But if it's sitting there on the ground, it could be put in a pickup and taken to another job. That's why we only pay for it once it's installed. Now, there are provisions to pay for up to 50% of certain items, provided there's a contract to deliver them at a later date, such as windows, carpet, countertops, cabinets, and those kind of things. It's pretty common to get 50% up front, but we don't pay it to the contractor, do we? No. You get a W-9 from the contractor, from his supplier, and we submit that along with an invoice from the supplier, and they'll pay up to 50%. Now, that 50% and the 50% that we're showing in the scope of work may not be the same number, because the one in the scope shows profit and overhead, doesn't it? That's why they ask for an invoice from the supplier, so we can see what 50% of the actual cost of those cabinets is, minus profit and overhead for the contractor. So, you know, there's lots of things, lots of nuances you need to know. One thing I just said, and I need to correct it, and that is, what is it, son? I got distracted. Sorry about that. What we do is we get that. This is a guy that never gets tongue-tied, that never misses a click. But I just forgot my train of thought totally. I think that's a key of getting old. But what happens, we want to be sure and pay, get the people paid that are doing the work. Once the materials are installed, we can pay materials, no doubt. If they've already been advanced, then we can pay the profit and overhead on those materials and the labor once they've been installed. We've got one going on right now where the homeowner and contractor had a little dispute, and the homeowner wants to replace the contractor. I don't recommend that ever. It's a pain. The new contractor has to be vetted. He has to go through a process and be accepted by the lender. So it's bad, just bad all around to change contractors midstream. And it's also hard to find a contractor that will continue the job using the same draw administration forms, because the draw says, quoted, $2,000, and we've already paid $8,000, $1,000 already, so he's only going to get $1,000. So that becomes another issue altogether. But so let's see, what are some of these disclaimers that we have on here? This is a good one. Provide all permits required for the project and have on display at the first inspection to avoid delays in obtaining your first draw payment. The final signed-off permit will be required prior to releasing the final draw. Though they cannot be included as a bid specification line item, they should be identified so the lender can include them in the maximum mortgage worksheet and on the recap of the subtotal, which is something we as consultants fill out. Finally, it came back to me. A consultant, this is important for everybody to understand, particularly the homeowner. Your consultant is your exclusive agent. He works for you. He tries to help you put this bid specifications together. That's his job. He makes a property inspection to be sure that we include anything and everything that he finds deficient on the home. So now that he's figured that out and the loan closes, we get the contractor's bid, everything goes, and the loan closes. The consultant is no longer your consultant. He's no longer your anything. He's your inspector, and he's the lender's inspector. And the lender hires him to come out and inspect the items that he specified to see that they're done. And that's one of the reasons they want the inspector and the consultant being the same person most of the time. And they did it because the consultant, if he made a mistake, he did verbally say these things, and there was a consensus. And if he didn't do a specification completely right, he can correct it at that point, because he looks at the contractor and says, look, you remember that conversation we had? This is what we agreed upon, is it not? Contractor usually says, oh, yes, I'm sorry. You're right, you're right. And it moves forward. And another thing, the permits are not a draw item, so they do not belong ever in a line item on your scope of work. They are considered soft costs, and those may include permits, architectural, engineering, anything like that would be considered a soft cost. And they can be reimbursed upon presentation to the lender or the draw department, without using up one of your draws. and not being charged for a change order because it's not a change. Okay. So the next line item that we always tell the contractor, and he signs agreeing to it, is provide any and all architectural and or engineering drawings and reports necessary to complete this project. Again, so they can't, though they can't be a line item in the bid request, please provide the cost for addition to the maximum mortgage worksheet. So they can be, all these things, the permits and everything, can be reimbursed 100% without a 10% holdback, as long as you have that paid receipt. Bad thing, they're going to pay you exactly what those permits are. Well, sometimes getting a permit means standing down at the inspection department waiting in line for your turn to go talk to a building representative and give them the plans and go over them. And that costs money. So what we have done over the years is put in a permit processing fee, a labor fee for standing around. And we estimate it to be 4 hours. If the contractor says, no, a project this size is going to take 8 hours, then we go ahead and do that. And then we confirm it when they get ready to take that draw line item. But we've had lenders tell us, you can't put permit fees there. And I say, read that line again. It says, this is not for permits. It is for the time it takes to get those permits, the labor involved. And then they say, oh, I didn't read it good. I just saw the word permit and thought you couldn't do it. We have other trainers that are telling you to put them in as a line item so you can draw them. Don't do that. It's against HUD guideline. It also causes you to put permits in there twice. So now you're putting twice as much money there. Because you're going to get them based on the maximum mortgage worksheet, which is a lender-filled-out form. Okay, we also put a disclaimer in there that our inspection is limited to items that are visible at the time of the inspection and not behind walls or where they cannot be sealed, and not behind concealed or stored household items. Not behind concealed or not concealed by stored or household items. That's important. All of our inspections, our home inspections, include that disclaimer. Note 8, contractor nor the homeowner have the right to change the specification of repairs without prior written authorization from the lender and the consultant. By signing below, the contractor and homeowner and their agents certify and agree that they have read these specification of repairs in its entirety and are hereby agreed to its terms and conditions. Now, how many of you have ever had a project delayed closing because you don't have a contractor's bid? Well, I'm going to show you how to get around that when we get back from this next break. So if you want to be part of the show when we get back, call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Yeehaw! We're back with you. Call us at 888-627-6008 to be part of the program. We always look forward to the callers that call in. They make the show much more entertaining, so we appreciate that. I got a question the other day. What is the difference between the FHA and the home style renovation mortgage? Well, it was a lender calling and wanted to know, you know, which way should they push things. And we do have a training class that we offer where we train people in the FHA on how to close them in 30 days instead of 60 days. Lenders that close in 60 days typically are micromanaging the whole project. They don't need to do that, but they tend to do that. It's a personality trait that I've noticed over the years. We've actually told one lender to take his work elsewhere because he was calling about every hour, breaking the momentum, breaking the concentration. You know, believe it or not, we do have to do our due diligence regardless of how many times you interrupt us. And interrupting it just slows the process down. We have to figure out where were we when you interrupted us. Some people say, well, don't take the call. Well, that's fine if we know who's calling. We don't always know who's calling, especially if they use a different phone to try to get through. And just because they're calling, it may have an effect on what we're doing. They may be canceling it. They may be adding something to it. So we have to take those calls. We can't just ignore the caller as much as we would like to. But let's see, where are we here? Yeah, okay, we've been training consultants, lenders, investors, and realtors for over 25 years now. Why is this coming out? Because so many of you think this is a new program. Believe it or not, the 203K has been around since 1961. Now, if I were to ask even professionals, maybe even lenders, when did the 203K came about, they'll probably say, I don't know, about 2005, because that's when the limited 203K went out. The limited 203K came out in 2005. Then it was called the Streamline 203K. About 2014, they changed the name to limited 203K. A limited 203K can be done by any lender who does standard FHA 203B loans. Wow. But a 203K lender, they have to take additional classes, and we provide those classes if they're interested. Many of them that take our classes are shocked to see that they can close loans in 30 days when their competition is telling everybody 45 to 60. I had a consultant. Our consulting software, by the way, is rated number one nationally with 400 underwriters actually rating all the software programs that were out there. And we got 98% of the vote as to which one would be most appropriate to have come across their desk on a regular basis. Then we had a call from a guy in Texas, David Presley. David, if you're listening, hi. But years ago, David started using our software. And he called me up and said, I don't have a clue why I tried yours last, but it's so far better than everything I've been using that I'm glad I finally found it. We offer our software to consultants and lenders, primarily because they're the biggest users. Lenders, you see. Yeah. Lenders that do a lot of limited 203Ks should be using our software to get all the forms, to get all the stuff that you need on a regular basis for your limited 203Ks and to look professional. Also, if it has to flip over to a full 203K, you've already got most of the work done. Now, a lot of you think you're going to a limited 203K to get away from having inspections. Well, that's not true. Now, limited 203K does provide up to 50% of the money up front. So if it's a $20,000 project, they can get $10,000 up front to go buy the materials. And the other $10,000 is supposed to come at the completion of the project. In reality, it's at the completion of the project and after we get an inspector to come out and take a look. Now, any 203K, limited 203K, that is over $15,000 in construction costs is supposed to have a consultant, not an appraiser, a consultant, do the final draw. That means you have to get a consultant out there, and you're going to have to get the appraiser back out there to do their job and verify that everything was done to their satisfaction as well. Over $15,000 requires a consultant inspection. So don't try to short-circuit the thing. And I have to tell you how many lenders will only be approved for the limited 203K, which anybody can get, without any classes. But it shouldn't be that way, because the first thing they do is they tell the contractor, we can't have more than $35,000 in construction costs. And you'll be amazed at how many of those come in at $35,000 or $34,999, because the contractor was told that's what he had to work with. So he inflates his prices and comes in at $35,000. The problem is, it's not $35,000 max, it's $35,000 max, including costs, fees, and contingency. So if your lender is telling you that you've got to have $800 in costs and fees, that means the construction can only be $34,200. So many don't understand that, because they've never done one, and they were told they didn't even need a class. Well, they do need a class. They need to know that, how that thing works. Now, if your lender, if that lender's not funding this thing, but let's say another lender is funding it, and that other lender requires a 20% contingency reserve because they know how many of these limited 203Ks fail, and that represents 98% of the failed 203Ks are limited 203Ks. Amazing. So what happens is they get in there and they now they have to back off from the 34.2. They got to back 20% out of that. So now the contractor's price has got to come in around $28,250, if I remember my math. So now you got a project that's $28,000 instead of $35,000, like the lender told you. And if a contractor's bid comes in at $35,000, that right there trips it to a standard or full 203K. Half of the lenders out there are not going to lose a deal for their realtor and their client. So they'll tell you the work is too much. You got too much construction. Find another house with less construction. I heard that the first time and I was blown away. So the realtor was being told to go do your job again, find a different house with less work required, all because the lender in that case didn't know the program and didn't feel necessary to get any training in advance. Well, the funding lender should have gave him that training, or he could have called out to us and we would have given him that training, or any consultant that knows anything about limited 203Ks could have given him the training he needed for that. And it's a very good investment. Wherever you get it, it's a very good investment. So, but get trained, understand the nuances. Understand that if your funding lender only requires a 10% contingency, then the maximum construction is about $32,000. If it requires 20, it's $28,000. So you got to know these things going in. If you don't, hire a consultant. But once it trips, if that bid comes in at $34,000 or $35,000, either way, it's now a full or standard 203K, and if that lender can't do it, they're going to try to talk you into something else. It is never supposed to be drop your bid numbers to $32,000 because we have to have 10% contingency. It's not supposed to happen that way. Do you believe it's not happening that way? Heavens no, it's happening that way every day. These people aren't going to lose a loan and the commissions that come in with their loan just because they made a mistake. But it's not following the guideline, and if they won't follow the guideline there, they probably won't follow the guideline elsewhere. So homeowners out there that are listening, if you're going to get a 203K, and it might be a limited, which means no structural work, no structural repairs, and if all you're using it for is to clear the termite report, That's likely structural because it's also called a structural pest control report. And if you're replacing any beams under the house or any support studs in the walls, it's a structural. These are structural changes. So you need to have a lender that does both the limited and the standard. So if it has to go that way, the lender is the same lender, and it's a matter of using a different form. Okay? So this is all good. Anyway, give us a call, 888-627-6008, if you want to be part of the show. And we'll be right back. We're going to take a short break, and that'll be the last one of the day. We'll be right back with you.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
You know, we're back with you. Welcome back. I appreciate you being there. Call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the program. If you got a question you haven't heard us answer, please call in. We'll be happy to answer it on the air. If you're too nervous or don't want to be on the air with us, then you can go to 203k911.com. That's 203k911.com. And go down to the contact form, fill out the contact form and send it off to us. We had a homeowner call last Monday, and I apologize. I haven't gotten back to him yet. We have had a hectic week, been gone 2 weeks on vacation and getting back. You can imagine what our desk looked like. So we have put a call into him a couple times now, and hopefully we'll get together shortly, maybe later today. So anyway, I thought I'd talk a little bit about some of the renovation projects that I found interesting over the years. If you have some you want to share, please call us at 888-627-6008 and share them with us. But there was one that we did up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, California. Borrower grew up on a street, and he currently lived on the street, but in a different house down the street from the one he grew up in. And he had the opportunity to buy this house that he grew up in. Of course, he had to bring it up to current standards. The handrails had to be replaced. I mean, there was a lot of items that were there when he was a kid that he lived through that weren't acceptable any longer under today's requirements. So, but it was fun to see him get back in there, and he was able to fix all those items that he lived with and didn't die from. So then we were doing another one. Oh, we're doing one right now. Originally had two houses on one very large lot. They're about 20 feet apart. The thrust of this 203K was to complete the construction. Somebody had gone in there and tried to connect these two houses. Okay, they tried to connect them. And in doing so, and turn the middle section into their living room and kitchen and so forth, or living room and other great room, I guess you'd call it. So the fun part of this thing, though, is it turns out they didn't do it with permits. So the new buyer had to go down and get permits. So they got the permits, they got the plans all drawn up and so forth, and we're still having trouble getting the work started because the building department changed the rules midway. So that's terrible news for the home buyer or the lender or myself. And we'd like to get in there and see this thing come to fruition. So, but think out of the box. The reason I'm telling you these houses, these stories, are because it opens you up. You can take a duplex or two houses on one lot, and if they're close enough together, you can combine them into one house. Or you can combine them into a house pull them together, leave one of them as an ADU, an auxiliary dwelling unit, and make the other one that was a house, make it bigger so you have a place for you to live. There's so many things that you can do. We had one not too long ago in the mountains. It was considered dried in. Now, dried in means that they've got all the siding up, the roof is on, the windows are in, and it's protected from the rain. It's dried in. It had a slab foundation. It was framed, siding, windows, roofing, all in place, but no work was done inside. And this was a Fannie Mae home style. And those requirements that I just told you are Fannie Mae requirements for the home style renovation mortgage. But because it was dried in, they were able to get the money to finish it, and they're living there happily today. I assume happily. I haven't seen them in a while. But the interesting thing is that Fannie Mae has a restriction on the amount of construction. So the amount of construction, let's see. I just thought of something I got to do. The amount of construction is 50% of the purchase price. So if your purchase price is $200,000, half of that, 50% of that, is the maximum amount of construction money you have available. Now, FHA does not have that restriction. FHA says as long as you have a loan amount within their maximum loan amount for your county, you can do the construction. Now, we did an $888,000 purchase with an FHA 203K. It needed $150,000 worth of work. The buyer was going to buy it outright, pay cash for it, but that would take all of his cash, or a lot of his cash, more than he wanted to invest in the house. So what he did was he went up to the maximum loan amount, and he paid a down payment that covered that plus the 150, and then they were able to add the 150 in construction and get back up to the maximum loan amount for his county. And that way he kept over 500,000 liquid cash in his bank where he needed it for his daily purchases. So those are all fun, you know. And 1994 to 1998, HUD was pretty loose about letting us build on existing foundations, or even a part of the foundation is all we needed. They are not that way today. They are restricted by the guideline. You can use the existing foundation in its entirety and build a complete new house on it, if that's what you want to do. But I had one there that was in Dixon, California. And I got there, I had a trainee with me who is just had retired from the second largest, if not the largest, concrete finishing company in the state of California. We pulled up to the project, and I looked at the loan officer and the homeowner or home buyer were standing there. And I said, "What do you think that foundation was?" And Mel said, "I have no clue." And I said, "Well, let me describe it to you. If you look at the outside walls, the concrete just inside is tapered down in both directions towards the middle. I think that was a milking barn." And he said, "Yeah, I can see that." So they're milking the cows, they're washing the cows, and all that water goes down to the middle and out to the drain, out the drain. So I said, let's see how this is going to progress. When I got out of the car, I introduced myself to these guys. They introduced themselves. They said, "Well, this is all that's left. We just got the perimeter foundation. This house, they tore the house down." And I said, "Interesting. Okay." I always start off my conversations with, "Hi, I'm Mike Young. I've got a lot of experience with these things. And all I ask from you is that you be honest with me and don't lie. Don't tell me a falsehood that might cause me to be an unwilling participant in fraud." "Oh, yeah, we would never do that." "Well, okay, that's great. So let's go back to this milking barn you're calling where the house was torn down. And the lender looked at the client and said, I told you he would know. And I said, no, it's not about telling somebody that I would know. Some other consultant might not have known that he'd be participating in fraud. I said, turning a milking barn into a house is perfectly within the legal use of the 203K. La, la, la. So you haven't broken any rules. The only fraud was committed from you to me, and I told you don't do that to me. You were trying to make up a story. So I got on the phone with HUD and told him that the house was on the other side of the fence from where we were, and this old milking barn is what we're going to convert into a house. And they said, absolutely, go ahead. That's great. So it's quite often the way you present something, and not so much what you're trying to do, but how you present it. I know we had a school that was being lived in as a single family house, but it still had a stage in that one room and so forth. And there was another school. We did a research, an appraisal search, and we found another school just a mile and a half or 2 miles away that had sold about a year and a half ago, where they converted it to a home, single family home. So this was done in the area, and the lender said, well, they turned me down. They won't let me do it. And I said, okay. And I got on the phone and I called the lender and put him on the speaker. And I said, can we turn this, got another church. We're going to turn it into a house and leave the flavor of the school there. And they said, no problem. I just like we're doing that one in Oakland last week. And I said, yeah. He said, no problem. And I hung up the phone, and the lenders said, who was that? And I told him, and he said, well, that SOB. He didn't let me do it. I called him first. And he gets him on the phone right there in front of me and says, how come you wouldn't let me do it when I called? And the lender's response was, okay, we won't do it. Hung up on him. So don't get angry. If you're a lender and you're trying to get something done and you're working through a funding lender or another lender that's actually putting up the money, be careful. Don't think you're King Kong here. Tiptoe, walk on those eggs if you have to till you get it done for your client. It's not about you. It's not about you being turned down. It's about the way you presented it. Okay, you didn't present it properly for them to make the right decision. So you need to shut up sometimes, tell them just what they need to know, and get on with the deal and service your client. Okay? I could have taken that same deal to any other lender I do business with on a regular basis, and they would have been happy to do it. This guy couldn't do it because he alienated his source. So just be careful. Anyway, so we had one where there was a pile of foundation. They had piled it up in a big pile, and I took a picture of it and shot it over to HUD Engineering. Now, this is back in 95, 96, when they were just trying to get as many 203Ks done as possible. So we were looking for 95 or 98% homeownership utilizing this program nationally, and it just wasn't working. So there was a piece of foundation in the picture. It had a bolt in it, and it was a 2x4 section about a foot long. And when I sent that to HUD Engineering, they said, okay, take that one. If there's any piers underneath the pile, be sure and save them. But take that one piece, make sure it shows up in the new house. And we did that one. So that was cool. You know what? I don't have time to get into that just now. Too bad you hadn't called. We're going to get into the differences between Fannie Mae and FHA's 203K programs. Why would you use one over the other next week? There's some good questions. Got some more consultant questions we're going to go over next week. Let's see. We might have time for this one. Consultant question was, how much should I charge for the home inspection on a 203K project? Well, if you're doing a 203K, it comes with as part of a 203K. It comes with a property inspection. So you're not going to charge anything if it's a refi. It's all part of your consultation fee. If you have, it's a purchase and the people are going to order a full home inspection, then you, in fact, ask them if they want a full home inspection and let them know you could do that at the same time. That would be fine. So you got to be ready for those things. Anyway, let's see, for those of you, if you've been charging, if you're a consultant and you've been charging a home inspection fee on a refi, shame on you. On a purchase, you can ask, but if they don't want it, you have to give them the one that comes free. So don't just think you're going to get rich on one customer. It's not going to happen. It's not in the books. Anyway, let's see. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. Join us next week on Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We do have a guest calling in, a lender. So all of you consultants out there that are complaining about not having enough business, you would be wise to tune in and get the perspective from a lender's point of view. Okay, join us next week for that. We're going to be having several guests coming up in the next few weeks, lenders. So it gives you a chance to ask them right then, what is it, how did they find Mike Young? How do you find you? You're going to be finding these new lenders. They're all over the place. But just because I have a loan officer in Guaranteed Rate Mortgage, for instance, doesn't mean I have all of the loan officers in Guaranteed Rate. So there's lots of business to be in. I tell you, when I train somebody, I typically hand carry them to several lenders, and we find a bunch of lenders that'll do business with them right from the scratch, from the get-go. So if you didn't get that kind of training and help when you were getting in the business, shame on your trainer. But anyway, this broadcast is coming to you from our office in Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's been beautiful today. I don't think it hit 100. Yesterday it was 103, but we look forward to seeing you next time. Bring your questions or plan on calling into the program. It's much more fun if we have you. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.